Good evening, everybody. 22nd of May, 2025. I'm sorry that I did not do a show last night, but I didn't do a show last night. So we're going to do one tonight, we're going to do one tomorrow night, and then we're back to our, well, we're back to our regularly scheduled shows tomorrow night. Don't forget, of course, Sunday morning, 11 a.m., we are back on our Sunday morning philosophy ride. So, tell me, what is it that bothers you the most about the modern world? What is it that bothers you the most about the modern world? I saw something today, and it had my lover guts boiling, just boiling. And before I go into my own rant, I just wanted to know, what bothers you the most? What are your rants? What are the things that get under your skin and crank your gears? I saw something today. I always like it. Well, I don't say I like it. I always find it vivid when something is, it takes me sideways. There's stuff that I know bothers me, and then there's stuff that just kind of comes in sideways. And this one just came in sideways. I don't think I can answer that question within the character limit. Yeah, appearance of a substance bothers me. Mm-hmm. That's a fair one. That's a fair one for sure. What else? What else gets under your skin, gets your goat? Now, let's just see if we have comments over here. I just wanted to check all of that. All right. Good evening. Happy Wednesday night. Thursday, but all right. Evil running unchecked, and it's the most innocent who suffer most. Thoughts on Cernovich asking you to return to X? Yeah, well, we'll get to that. So I saw something posted on X from Thomas Sowell quotes, and a Norwegian shows how stores can run with zero staff. And parts of law where you're allowed to enter stores, you just have to tap in with a credit card. You can go and pick out whatever you want. You pay for it voluntarily on your way out. And that kind of broke my heart, man. That kind of broke my heart. It's a high-trust society, the stable society, the society of benevolence, the society of participation, the society where you have honor and morality and self-restraint, and a society of wealth. Oh, you're saying in Japan they have stores too with no cashiers. Yeah. Have you done this sort of self-checkout thing? It's interesting. It's interesting. It breaks my heart. You know, the high trust society of my childhood is gone. It was so high trust. It was crazy. I mean, I mentioned this before. I was roaming all over London from the age of 4 or 5 onwards. Never had a moment's trouble, never had a moment's concern, never had a moment's violence or bullying or betrayal. Everyone kind of looked out for each other. You get on the bus, he'd keep an eye on, the bus driver would keep an eye on you. The conductor or the ticket taker would keep an eye on you. And I remember going to the Royal, Natural History Museum. I remember going to the War Museum. There was one in downtown England, London, and then there was one in Hendon, I think it was, going all over the place. I remember at the age of 6 getting on trains to go to boarding school, to go and visit my aunts. I remember my brother and I taking solo trips across a boiling green Sargasso Sea and the North Sea from England to Ireland, being picked up. I mean, that's all gone. I mean, we're supposed to be exploring the moons of Jupiter by now. Imagine stores with no cashiers, where people have the honor dignity, morality, and self-restraint. But there's too much resentment, you know. I talked about this in a show this week, a solo show. It's just too much resentment. Somebody says, just got back from Japan, saw a row of maybe 50 bikes on a bike rack. Not a single one had a lock on it. A society of safety and benevolence and security. Now, of course, at home, blah, 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 violence and people didn't intervene. So I'm not going to go back to England in the late, London in the late 60s, early 70s, say it was some sort of paradise. I get it wasn't. But the road not taken, right? Everyone who's more successful than you, this is how the story goes, how the society's trust is shredded. Everybody who's doing better than you stole from you. Everybody who's smarter than you is exploiting you. Just this snake charming, you know, weaving headed viper resentment language. That's really, I just looked at that and I was like, a store with no cashier, a store with no security. You know, in some places in America, you can only get pictures of things on the shelf. The only thing that's on the shelf is pictures of goods. Yeah, like if you go to small towns here in Canada, you go to these small towns here in Canada, and they have these little parks and the gazebos and stuff like that, and they have little book nooks. You can sort of leave a book, you can take a book, and all of that. And I don't recall many, if any, futuristic stories, science fiction stories, when they looked at sort of the dystopianism of the future. I don't remember any of them getting it particularly right about what was going to happen and how bad things were going to become. I don't remember ever locking my bike as a kid. I don't. You know, you just bike over to a friend's place, you throw your bike on the lawn, you go in, you do your thing. I don't remember locking my bike. In Canada, I had to start locking my bike. I mean, not when I had my bike of seven colors all pulled together from various things that were various garbage picking Franken bikes, whatever, right? But when I started to get a decent bike, yeah. This is resentment, the resentment, the rage, the coaxing to immorality, the coaxing to resentment. I mean, it's not, I don't really blame even the sophists that much. People's belief in the necessity of the organized coercive nature of statism, people's belief that that's necessary and essential and without it, society would just be terrible. People's belief in that creates a market. Lying to people in a free society is not very profitable. But lying to people when the government controls the money supply and interest rates, and lying to people becomes ridiculously profitable. You know, I had to stop off at a cell phone store the other day. I was passing through. I had to stop off at a cell phone store, and I look like a complete idiot. I mean, depending on your view of me, that may be more common than less. But two things, just the general weirdness and incompetence. So I needed to talk to a cell phone representative for reasons far too boring and irrelevant to get into here. I had to talk to a cell phone representative, and I don't like just showing up at the cell phone store because, you know, there's just scads of people milling around, not understanding technology. God help you if there's a language barrier or a boomer. You're never getting seen by anyone. So I went to the company's website and book an appointment. This was just one of those days. Welcome to the life of a philosopher. This is one of those days. So I booked an appointment for 4:00. And then I went to go and start the car, but the car did not start. The battery had given up the ghost or something like that, right? So I have to go get the car boosted, and then I have to go and get the battery replaced. So I was going to do that. This is all sort of pushing up against the 4:00 deadline. So my daughter and I, she loves coming. We call them toodles. You're going on a toodle, right? Just got a bunch of errands to run, and we usually will listen to music, make jokes, chat, and have fun. So we went to we went to a little tea shop, and we got some tea while we were waiting for the car to get fixed. The car got fixed, and it was about 3:45. Now, of course, there's no way to contact the store very easily and say, oh, I'll be a little late or whatever, but I'm like, I got to get there, because if they, right, I thought maybe I can switch it to 4:30, because when I first did it, it was 4:30, but there was no, it was only tomorrow at 11 a.m., and I don't want to go back tomorrow. So I drive very responsibly, but let's just say I was hitting the speed limit very consistently. And I get to the store at about 4:08, and I go up to open the door, and I'm like, because, you know, it says pull. I go up, and I pull, and I pull. And I, you know, was kind of wet and slippery, and I almost fell over because the door was locked. And I'm like, okay, it's 4:00 in the afternoon. Why would a cell phone store be closed? And then I see a sign which says, you can't come into the store unless we buzz you in. And I assume this is because of crime or whatever it is, right? First time I've seen that you can't go into a store. You have to appeal to them to open the door, right? So the guy comes in, opens the door, and I said, oh, okay. I said, I'm sorry, I'm a little late for my 4:00. He's like, what? I'm like, I'm sorry, I was a few minutes late for my 4:00. And he's like, what? And I said, no, like I booked on the website. It said you had an appointment here at 4:00. He's like, yeah, we don't really do that. Like, what do you mean you don't do that? He says, yeah, you know, basically it's just first come, first served. And it's been really slow today because it's been raining, right? Or whatever, right? So it's like, you know, my day's kind of organized around getting there at 4:00, and I've got to go jump through the hoops of fixing the car, getting there. And I'm like, wow. So this whole thing where it says, oh, there aren't any more appointments today, but tomorrow at 11, he's like, yeah, we don't, you know, it's just first come, first served. I really miss the world where things worked. Don't you? Where things were predictable and things made sense. Why do you? This is like the Seinfeld thing, you know? Anybody can take the reservation. It's kind of important that you actually hold on to the car. I was at a Froyo shop with my daughter the other day. And it's a Froyo shop we've been to before. And before, you could just ask for samples, right? They'd just give you a little cup and you could go and see if you liked the Froyo, right? Nope. Not anymore. Now, you are limited to 3 samples, and they're going to count and you used to be able to just pick up your little bowl and go over and get your froyo. Nope, none of that. Now you have to go and ask for your bowl, and they'll give you one bowl and one spoon, and you have to ask for the spoon. Everything's just kind of getting prison-like, you know? And of course, everybody knows, like, people are taking way too many samples, people are grabbing fistfuls of spoons, and right, and the business just has to protect itself. It's kind of everywhere. There's lack of trust, hard-eyed suspicion, people looking the chisel and take advantage and get something for nothing. With no sense. It's basic empathy, isn't it? Isn't it basic empathy? Right? You don't go and just take a bunch of samples, because if you were running the business, you couldn't make it work if people were just taking a whole bunch of samples, or you'd have to raise the prices. I'm waiting for the you know, the things you put on top of the froyo. Oh, all of those colorful things. I do the same couple of things every time because I'm 58 and I got to stay healthy. I do my peanuts, I do my walnuts, I do a little bit of granola and fruit. I mean, I know the froyo is not that great for me, but my daughter likes it and it is very tasty. You know, those things are going to be locked up at some point too. Society's become like this prison cafeteria where you got to watch your back and not make eye contact and not upset anyone and hold on to your stuff and take your spoon with you when you got to go pee, because it won't be there when you get back. Crazy. A store with no cashier, no employees. A store that runs on people's honor, self-respect, and empathy. It seems to me the most scarce resource these days is all of this, just empathy. Well, if I was running this store, I wouldn't want to pay for everyone's spoons that stolen spoons. There's only one store that I've been to recently that doesn't seem to have a lot of extended and expanded security. What's that, you wonder? A bookstore. Where I go with my daughter and I suggest the classics, and she's like, I want to read something modern. And I'm like, okay, but it's going to be propaganda. Just flip it open, read the book. It's going to be propaganda. Go with the classic. I miss art where they talk about the essentials of human challenges, moral challenges, challenges of courage, challenges of connection, challenges of good decision-making. I miss art that spoke to me as a human being, not as an NPC who needed an upload to some new form of bullshit programming. I mean, I'm working on a new novel. I'm on chapter 6, and I'm trying to really dig deep into the human condition as I really work. And it's a sort of cliche, the human condition, but, you know, the challenges that we face that I sympathize with, rather than the finger-wagging, nagging of what you're supposed to believe for the convenience and purposes of those in power. What is convenient for your rulers to have you believe? That's all that's left. That's all that's left. In Berlin, even the instant coffee at the supermarket is locked behind plexiglass. You need to ask the clerk for it. Yeah. Yeah. And the price of everything just goes up and up and up. I had to take a cab ride the other day. I was in the cab for about an hour, and it was $135, and then you're supposed to tip, right? I mean, that's wild, man. It's really wild. It's really wild how expensive everything is. My wife just came back from the grocery store, $350. And it's not like we're set till the fall. Scorching. Scorching. There's a little diner that I go to from time to time. It's $23 for a burger and fries. And I remember when it was 15, 14, in fact. And I don't blame them. Of course not. I don't blame them. You know, I'm sure you've seen these memes on X and other places, you know. This is what was taken away from you. The world that you grew up in no longer exists. And there's too much resentment. Too much resentment. All right. And the cure to resentment is self-ownership, and a lot of people don't seem to want that anymore, or even a bit. Even a bit. All right. Let's get to, yeah, I did pop up on X again. And Mike Sinovich, very nice. We like the Mike. He said, I remember sitting at my dining room table in an apartment watching Stefan Molyneux's slideshow in South Africa. It was unbelievable. I mean, that literally, I didn't believe him. Then I read every source he provided, visited the country, and if anything, he understated matters. Yeah, that was many, many years ago. He said, Stefan Molyneux is someone else we all owe much to. He was discussing topics off limits decades ago. He got banned for it. I knew who Jordan Peterson truly was when he let this happen without saying much of anything. Real ones know who made 2016 and today possible. And he said very nicely, Stefan Molyneux's absence from X is a loss felt daily. I'm aware Molly wants an apology for how he was unjustly banned by Twitter, but that was the prior regime. Elon's $44 billion was restitution enough for all of us. And then some. Come back, Steph. And it's nice. Nice to see. It's nice to see a comment like that, of course, right? It's nice. And then it's like, what? Where, is that guy still around? I thought he died. Where is he? Where did he go? Where'd he gone? somebody says, one of the most profound pro-Bitcoin speeches was his Bitcoin and political power talk at the Next Web conference in 2014. I didn't like a lot of what he said towards the end of his time on Twitter, but the speech stands alone as a tour de force. I remember giving that speech. This was in Amsterdam. I remember giving that speech and wanting to yell at everyone for sitting on their phones. It wasn't personal to me. They did it for just about everyone, but just get off your phones. I'm trying to save your lives. Trying to save your lives. What was the price of Bitcoin in 2014? Boy, 11 years ago. Yeah, $200. Yeah, $200. $700, $200, $200. Ah. Let's see here. It's gone up 15 to 20 times since then. But I'm sure that whatever they were looking at on their phones was super important. Super important. Somebody says, was recently at JFK Airport, $60 for a Buffalo Wild Wings, fries and a drink. Yeah. And then everybody wants their tip. I mean, in general, I try to tip reasonably well, especially if I get good service. But I mean, if I'm picking up my own, it's like a convenience store thing. If I'm picking up my own food and bringing it to the cashier, I don't know what I'm tipping for. $14 in 2000, bought two extra value meals at the Golden Arches. Lucky to get a small one for that price. Yeah. I was banned under the prior regime. They banned my backup last year, 8 years after I stopped using it, LOL. Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to explain to my daughter how my brother and I, when we were kids, of course, we would go to McDonald's with $2. Yeah, we'd go to McDonald's with $2 and be stuffed and have some change. Back when Big Macs were like 30, 35 cents or whatever it was, right? Crazy. Yeah, post-demanding tips start at 30%. Yeah, I've seen them start at 18% or 20%, and then you got to go in other or whatever it is, right? I get where people are coming from. I really do. I mean, everybody's kind of desperate. Everybody's kind of broke, right? Do you think all of this has to do with the destruction of the nuclear family or technology? No, I don't think it's anything like that. We decided to take from the competent and give to the less competent. So we punished productivity and we rewarded non-productivity. It's not complicated. Whatever you tax, you get less of. Whatever you subsidize, you get more of. So, it never ends, right? You know, you've seen the analogy, right? That there's a whole bunch of people and they've got a cart, they're all like horses, right? They're carrying a cart, and on the cart are one or two disabled people, right? One or two sick people, and there's like 20 people and carrying the cart, and then every now and then, somebody jumps from carrying the cart to sitting on the cart, because it's much more pleasant. And then there's more weight to pull, and there's fewer people to pull it, and eventually there's like two or three guys, and everybody else is piled onto the cart, and their backs are breaking, and they go in full Dostoevsky whipped horse route. And it all just crashes. All just crashes. Ineptocracy. A system, somebody posts this, a system of government where the least capable to lead are elected by the least capable of producing, and where the members of society least likely to sustain themselves or succeed are rewarded with goods and services paid for by the confiscated wealth of a diminishing number of producers. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate slippery slope argument, right? Steph, the food not only costs more, but I feel the food quality is less. What do you guys think? Oh, food sucks these days in general. Food sucks. By the way, thank you, Durbins, and thank you, Matt, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Yeah, food has turned into absolute slop. It's dry, it's oily, it just vaguely feels like it's been left in a parking lot in the Florida sunshine and driven over a few times by SUVs with grit and oil in the tires. I mean, I remember the last time I flied, sorry, this is a Christa Burke reference. The last time I flew, I bought a sandwich. And it was damn close to inedible. I mean, I'll eat it because, you know, just need fuel and all of that sort of stuff. But I feel like eating these days, I mean, My wife is a great cook. The stuff she makes at home is great. But I'm just talking about anytime anything's kind of prepared for me, like that's not from scratch or not with a competent cook. It's just trash. It's like, you know, if you had COVID and you lost your taste or whatever, right? Or I remember once being in an open house. It was an open house that had pretend fruit. And I remember picking up, I glanced at the sort of pretend fruit. It was a bunch of pears and there was big teeth marks in it. Somebody picked up the pretend fruit and tried to eat it, right? You couldn't eat it, right? And it just feels like I'm just forcing down bland, kind of gross fuel. And, you know, everything has so much added sugar because it doesn't taste good. And yeah, food quality is trash these days in general. It's just bad. It's just bad. Life, almost, I mean, outside of some personal relationships and all of that, but life just kind of feels like something you have to suffer through these days until things get better. I don't know when things will get better, but everything's just heading in the wrong direction, and you just kind of got to grit your teeth and ride it. What do you think about no tax on tips? I think it was political to win Nevada. Not fair, but better than having Kamala Harris as president. Well, what is it that your barber is going to say, I'll give you a $1 haircut if you tip me $50? I don't, no tax on tips. I mean, why should a waiter get her tax bill reduced relative to a plumber? Why? So, I mean, the political stuff is quite instructive these days. The Doge stuff was interesting, but as far as I understand it, I haven't followed it in any great closeness. So, obviously, correct me if I've got it wrong. But none of the Doge cuts have been codified into law. And Elon Musk, I think, he's still going to work a day or two on this stuff. But Elon Musk as a whole is saying he's basically going to cut back on his political spending because he's done enough. And when the money is coerced, the most corrupt always end up with the most. And they have massive incentives, right? The whole nonprofit thing where you get a bunch of money from the government, you give it to a nonprofit, you don't do much good with it, but you pay yourself exorbitant salaries. Yeah. And now the big, beautiful bill has passed. I think it's passed, right? And massive increases in spending throughout the Trump's term. Everybody's so emotional. Nobody can look at anything with principles at all. Everything that gets cut, oh, children are going to die, and you know everybody's going to create their tear-jerking, squealy violin, sad sounds, and it's going to be a complete catastrophe, disaster. Children are going to fall in this, and everybody's emotional. I mean,
if I were in politics.
If somebody said, oh my God, you're cutting this program that provides essential services for children. They're like, well, you can donate. You can donate. No one's preventing you from donating. If you care about these kids, you can set up a charity. You can raise the money. You can do all of these cool things, right? You got this. You care. I mean, if you care enough that you're crying tears of socialist blood because of the cuts, if you care that much, then go help these kids out. Go, you know, if you think that's important, then you should absolutely. Like, nobody's going to prevent you from helping the people you claim need. It's not going to be enough. Well, how do you know? How do you know? If you think people should be helped, no one alive will prevent you from helping them. Oh, yeah. Man, the story of the modern salad is a tragedy of diminished expectations, isn't it? Let's get our focus back on here. I've gone blurry. I'm unblurry. Yeah, salads have gotten really sad these days. Swimming in goop-clogging dressing, lettuce. It's like sort by cheapest and bulkiest, right? Lettuce, bunch of carrot bits, maybe a bit of tomato, couple of croutons. And it's a soup. It's a soup. No, the poor food quality is just related to the fact that everybody's broke. Like, everybody's broke. Japan's broke. Greece is broke. Europe's broke. America's broke. Canada's broke. Individuals are broke. Everybody's broke. Because the massive tilt of taking money from productive people and giving it to people who are unproductive has no end save collapse. I talked about this, let me see if I can find it. When did I talk about it? But it was quite some time ago, and it's called The Welfare Cliff, right? So this is a woman with two kids has to earn like $100,000 to just break even. To just break even. And she's not going to be able to do that. So in other words, she's taxed at more than 100%, up to 100% until she starts making $100,000, which gives her the same amount of money that she gets from the welfare state in all of its various forms. It doesn't even account government schools, right? So she's taxed massively crazy until every dollar she makes past $100,000 is taxed at whatever rate that would be, 30, 40, 50% or whatever it is, right? She can't get out. The welfare cliff, welfare trap it's called. Can't do it. Can't fix it. To everybody, everybody's broke. Everybody's getting free phones. Everybody's getting hotel rooms. Everybody's broke. There's no money left. The Republicans failed to implement any of the DOGE findings. Yeah. So, I mean, this is why, you know, CPSF, why did you get out of politics 5 years ago, right? Well, because, I mean, Elon Musk, the world's wealthiest man, with the full support of Donald Trump, the president, and Donald Trump's cabinet, well, a lot of Donald Trump's cabinet, and a significant proportion of the American population can't cut shit, really. So because everyone's broke, everything's just a shell of what it used to be. The price of everything's going through the roof, wages are stagnating, the price of housing is deranged. Absolutely deranged. I saw some fine print on a credit card company contract the other day where if you miss two payments, their interest rates go into the mid 20%, like 24 or 20. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's crazy. I mean, Let's do this for our American listeners. Average credit card interest rate. That's mad. This is from Investopedia, May 20th, 2025. Oh, 2 days ago, right? The median average credit card interest rate for May 2025 is what? What is the median average credit card interest rate for May 2025? What's it at? Hello, Harvey. Don't text and drive. I'm begging you. Please don't text and drive. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. freedomain.com/donate. We really appreciate it. Anyone going to guess what is the average or the median? Sorry, median. So the median, the median average credit card interest rate is 24.2%. What do you even say? What do you even say? Oh, pardon me. What do you even say at 24.5%? God help the people who try to fund things, their purchases by paying the minimum. You're going to pay, you know, $1,000 for 100 and change worth of, right? And that the delinquency rate is pretty high too. 2017, 2.5%. Now it's over 3%. Yeah, that's completely mental. That is like an absolutely terrifying level of interest. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. I'm sure there's things you can do where you say, well, 25%, here's how long it takes to double. A year. That's a year. My bad, sorry. I got a little too excited there. A little too excited. A month. Well, wait till next year. Ugh. And people are, what are they doing? Disappointed that Trump suggested fixing credit card interest at 10%. What is the natural free market end result of this action? I was very surprised Trump suggested this. Crazy. All right. If you have questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems, I'm a dying to hear them. Somebody says, I owe Stefan so much for giving me the tools to succeed in life. I have not listened to him for many years as I have him modeled in my consciousness for guidance. I remember growing up and there was a What Would Jesus Do movement. I have a What Would Stefan Say model instead. That's very nice. I have that too. The story of your enslavement might have ruined my life. Amazing video. Nobody stirred up the feminists more than Molly Meme. All he had to do was mention why women wear makeup and they would lose their collective minds. Yeah. Somebody says, I know he wants to maximize philosophy in the future as opposed to popularity today, but very few philosophers are respected today who sat out of the public square in their time. I really think I sat out of the public square. I took bullets for 40 years, man, 20 publicly and 20 privately. I want 2007 to 2012 Molly back, says someone. I think there's a shame component limiting his return. I don't think his base really liked his decision to support Trump in 2016. I wouldn't say that my decision was to support Trump. I just didn't like the way the media was lying. That's all. The purpose of the truth about, I haven't mentioned this before, but you know, if you're new, you haven't heard it. The purpose of my series, The Untruths About Donald Trump, was the media was lying about me, but nobody particularly cared that the media was lying about me. But if I could get people to understand that the media was lying about Trump, then that would discredit the media and that would help to some degree me, right? So, and not, it wasn't the only reason, but it's an important factor. Stefan is the OG. His is a much needed voice. We need everyone. I loved his truth about videos. They are gold. Someone said recently that his greatest crime was being early. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Please, Steph, come back. We need reason more than ever today. Loved listening to Stefan in the 2015 era, says someone. I just don't have the time / mental energy to go to all the different little alternative sites and gather all the content to watch or read from everyone whose personal reasons not to be on socials. I use X for news and a bit of trolling, YouTube to learn stuff and entertainment, and still follow a couple of the old school blogs. That's it. Yeah, I mean, I got no problem with that. That's totally fine. If it's too much to put my show into your podcatcher feed, I mean, I used to have to go when I was a teenager and I wanted to read books, obscure books on philosophy or prior to the internet. I mean, there was a place on Pape called the Purple Village Bookstore. I actually looked it up some years ago, but it vanished long before the internet could record any of its presence, I think. I used to have to go. I don't know if you've ever done this, if you're oldish like me. I don't know if you ever had to do this. You had to go and find ancient books, obscure books, and you'd have to go to booksellers from place to place, take the bus, talk to them, leave your name, leave your number, come back if they could ever find it. It was a quest, man. It was a quest. And I spent, I can't even tell you how many hours pounding the pavement, bookstore to bookstore, trying to find, desperately find a book that I was dying to read, that I'd heard about or was in some bibliography of some other book. Seemed interesting. It's cool. And I don't mean to sound all kinds of like, the young people today are weak. It's like, oh, do I have to copy and paste a podcast feed into a podcatcher where my phone will automatically download the latest episode so I can listen to it whenever I want?
You're too tough. Oh, come on.
Come on, man. I'm only human. That's the kind of thinking that, by the way, did not get the ring to Mordor. I spent half my teenage years trying to track down obscure books, talking to librarians, making friends with booksellers, praying that they could get the book in any condition. I didn't care if it had no cover, because the better the condition it was in, the more expensive it was. So that wasn't great. And you'd hope to get a book without too many scribbles and without too many notes and hopefully without too many penises drawn in. So I spent years and years and years hunting down obscure books. And people are like, okay, I have a computer that will give me the show automatically the moment it comes out, and I can listen to it wherever I want with no particular effort, but that's work, man. I mean, copy-pasting a feed into a podcatcher, oh my God. I mean, I am but a mortal man. I have but a mortal man's energies and muscles and bones, tendons and focus. I will not live forever. I cannot do it all. You gotta meet me halfway. You Nagasaki'd your entire reputation to bring me the truth. But I can't copy and paste something from your website into a podcast program. God, how dare you even ask me to take on such a blood-soaked quest of Control-C, Alt-Tab, Control-V. How dare you? You may have destroyed your entire reputation to bring the world unpalatable and unfathomable truths, but do you know what it could do to me if I copy and paste? It might contribute 0.1% of 1% towards carpal tunnel syndrome, man. I mean, it's true that you got chased all over Australia by people wanting to do you fairly significant harm. That's true. That's true. But have you ever tried to copy and paste? You know, sometimes the copy and paste is in a soft keyboard. It's not even a hard keyboard. Sometimes, okay, Steph, like, get real, man. Get real. You got booted off everywhere. Your income and reach got absolutely sledgehammered. But here's the thing. This is what you don't understand. You made those contributions to philosophy. And, you know, that's good. That's good. Goodish. It's nice. It's nice. It's nice you did that. Yay for you, Steph. Good job. But here's the thing, man. You did take on all of the crazy and some of the violent people in the world. But what if I need to copy-paste? And my keyboard is not lit, man. Like, it's not a light-up keyboard. You know? You know, and sometimes the light from the screen, like, even if I go to something blindingly white, like a close-up of your forehead, man, sometimes the light from the screen doesn't reach down to the keyboard. Then what? Then what? Then I gotta pick up my phone and I gotta turn on the flashlight. What if I copy and paste the wrong thing? What then? The fuck am I supposed to do then? I mean, what if I hit play and the volume's too high or too low? What if I'm listening to you on a podcatcher and I put the time out so it goes to sleep? And then you're in the middle of making some interesting point and it just goes to sleep. Then what? What if I'm half asleep? You make an interesting point, as you do from time to time, and then it fades out. I don't know, man. I mean, we're all making our sacrifices, Steph, but you gotta be reasonable, man. You gotta meet people halfway. I mean, it's true that you gave speeches where you had to have bodily security. It's true that the feral leftists tried to tip over the buses of people who wanted to come and hear you give a speech. And it's true that they threw giant batteries at the windows. And it's true that you had to go and pee in the bathroom, worrying about getting shanked from behind because you didn't know who was around. Steph, I mean, okay, I'm not going to say that's nothing. I mean, it's not much. It's not much. It's not nothing. But Steph, you got to understand, I mean, what if I've listened to like 100 of your shows and then like out of nowhere, like a velociraptor or a xenomorph or Ted Cruz trying to kiss his daughter. What if I suddenly feel bad because I've consumed hundreds and hundreds of hours of your content, ad-free, largely filler-free, and then I feel bad because I've never donated anything. I've never shared your stuff. I don't want to talk about it. What if I get a sudden attack of conscience or guilt for taking without any reciprocity? You ever think about that? You ever think about my feelings and how I might feel bad? You selfish, cute ball, bowling ball, four-headed son of a bitch. You strangely ageless emotional manipulator. What if I just feel bad? You might have taken a Halley's Comet impact to your entire career. But I might get a sudden stab of guilt because I don't support anything you do in any practical sense. I just take and take and take. Have some compassion for people who don't want to feel selfish. God. If you had any sensitivity at all to people, you'd serve them up a conveyor belt of brilliant, deep and powerful insights without them having to lift their head from the trough of hospital food that apparently, being in traction, is the only place that they can get something. All right. I could go on and on, but I won't. I was wondering what happened to him when I had read your earlier tweet. Is Stefan Molyneux still producing content these days? Just ask my toilet bowl. Is Stefan Molyneux still producing content these days? Well, I could type that into a search engine, or I could post it 5 pages down on a Mike Cernovich post where no one will answer. But there ain't no coup de ville hiding in the bottom of a Cracker Jack box. His Polish trip video was stunning. Yes. Yes, that was good. That was good. Best philosopher alive. We sure could use him. Boy. We sure could use him, man. I mean, my God, this man is dying of diabetes. I have to reach 18 inches to my left for insulin. Fuck, he's dead. No, no, he's not. 18 inches. Ugh. Is anyone producing insulin these days? Oh, is he dead? Dead. Oh, he's still alive? Okay. Does anyone have any insulin? It's 18 inches to your left. What? Oh, fuck. I mean, if that guy dies, it's going to kill me. If that guy dies, oh my God. I couldn't take it. this guy is like the best guy on the planet. If he dies of diabetes, I'm going to get tearful again. 18 inches, that's the insulin. You even got a, somebody will even give you it in an injection. That's all you got to do. I'll even inject it for you. Just say the word. Still alive? Sure could use some insulin, man. Fuck. I want Molyneux's Truth About Videos back again. Some of the best videos on history out there. His video on George Washington. Super eye-opening. Yes. I miss him, too. Losing Scott, Adams, I assume, emphasizes how short our time is here. We need to expend our efforts to achieve maximal good while we still can. Yes! Yes! Do you think that I'm going to complain? Do you think I'm going to complain if somebody takes speech excerpts of mine and reposts them on X? Nope. Nope. Not a bit. We need to expend our efforts to achieve maximal good while we still can. Okay, so start posting my stuff on X. Obviously don't selective edit it to put together words saying that I want to bring Mother Teresa back as a scarecrow. Oh, well, there's one. But Steph, you got to work. Well, you could repost my videos. What? No, Steph, you've got to work. It's absolutely essential. The future of human civilization, the salvation of the West, and all that is good and noble and rational that the Greco-Roman Judeo-Christian tradition hangs on your head, Steph. I'm still producing content. You could just repost it on X. What? Somebody says, one of the best to ever do it. A flawed figure, no doubt, but also no doubt a genius. Please, Molly Memes, if you can see this, please come back.
Baby, come back.
Just come back. So I don't have to move. Come and philosophize to me, because otherwise I'm going to have to pick up my phone and I'm going to have to take 20, 30 seconds to get your podcast feed on my phone. That's just a bridge too far.
I'm only human.
We were all banned. Time to get over it. Not an argument. Universally preferable behavior is how I live my life, except how it's written in that stupid book UPB by Stefan Molyneux. I can't explain it. It's just the way it is. Somebody says, nah, good riddance.
Baby, come back.
All right. Interesting. We're hitting non-argument levels that shouldn't even be possible. Scott Adams is in an entirely different league than Molyneux. There's no replacing Scott. Would Steph call out the woke right? That's just a bunch of nonsense, woke right. It's just a way of saying that the word does not apply to the left, but because I'm just going to attach it to the right. Therefore, the right and the left are just the same in their craziness. Oh, that's funny. This is my matrix, which pill do you take? And one of them, somebody made this, I think somebody else made this meme for women. It's like a pair of really nice high-heeled shoes or an egg is what I'm offering, the red pill and the blue pill. That's funny. Yeah, Stefan Molyneux was actually a high IQ thinker. Additionally, that less than 5% of his audience, says someone, followed him to BitChute or other places, so that's evidence that he's not that important to most of the people on here. I could be misunderstanding, but one of the things he recommends in relationships is treat others exactly this. They treat you. Yeah, treat other people the best you can, and then the first time you meet them, and after that, treat them as they treat you. That's right. That's right. That's right. And the audience, a website over, a copy and paste of a feed That's just a bridge too far. So, if they don't care much about me, I will not care much about them. Caring more about somebody else in a relationship is a way to be sure and guaranteed and absolutely for certain know that you're going to be exploited. Exploited. All right. Let me see if I've got any other comments, issues, questions, problems. I don't know why he's so grudging about this. Lots of influencers got treated like trash around that time. Not just him. Time for him to move on and get back in the game. Yeah, it was a little bit more for me. It was a little bit more. It was a little bit more for me. Is he still creating content? Just look. Witty McTitty says, please come back. I appreciate his integrity, but I miss seeing his insights and wit here. You know, here's the thing, man. Like, I really want to listen to some Led Zeppelin, you know? But until Jimmy Page and Robert Plant come to my house and play a private concert for me, I mean, what's my option? I mean, do I have to open up a music player, type in Led Zeppelin, and then click on a song? Jesus. No. They have to come to me. I can't go to Led Zeppelin and get their music because that means picking up my phone and touching a few things, which I know a lot of you do anyway. But what I'm going to do is I'm waiting for them to come to me and play for me. Sure, absolutely. And somebody posted one website over. Pretty easy to find him. The person I miss the most is Stefan. Really? Young lady, really? I'm the person you miss the most. I miss him so much. Steph, I missed you.
Freedomain.com.
Oh, he's back! I'm not dead. I'm one website over. You don't need a fucking Ouija board. I miss Steph so much. If only there was some way to have him back in my ears. If only we could pierce the very veil of death and reach out to a philosopher long... Dust, what? What? Freedomain.com? I don't need to pierce the veil of death. I don't need to sacrifice a 20 headless monkeys, really? No Ouija board? What? Are you saying that if I type in freedomain.com, he is resurrected from dust? Come on, man.
I miss him so much.
That's funny. Molyneux is a charlatan. Not an argument. Call into his show and persuade him. Is Steph on Rumble? Oh my gosh. I would want him to come back, but that would require him to accept reality in a way he doesn't have to. It's just these vaguely sinister things that, well, maybe you just can't handle it. It's like, anyway. Elon's a moron for not giving him and others a lifetime free membership. What Steph has to offer Elon is far greater than that. Banning does work. I really like that dude and totally forgot about him. That's true. I mean, they wouldn't do it if it didn't work. But it works because of you, right? The banning me worked because of just about everyone in this thread. I mean, it's not any big, criticism, and I'm not bitter. But it's like, it works. It works because out of sight, out of mind. Squirrel, right? It works. It works. I mean, either I go back and don't tell the truth, in which case it's just an exercise in humiliation, or I go back and tell the truth and just get banned again. I mean, what's the point? What's the point? Well, you can get back together with this hot girl, but you have to pretend to be an airline pilot for the rest of your life. Or if she finds out what you really do, she's going to kick you out of a moving car on a gravel road. Oh, dear. Tonight's rant is gold. Thank you. Appreciate that. Oh, but if I repost Steph's banned content, I might be at risk of being banned myself. Oh, no. You mean you might have to ante up to help the cause? Yeah. Oh, they could download the Rumble app and just subscribe to the show. I mean, there's tons of places, right? So it says, I have to say, Steph, I would be bummed to lose you in this space. It's incredible to be able to interact with you this way without all the noise. The people on X who say they miss you are truly missing out in this intimate space. Sure, I love all of your X stuff, but being able to interact with you personally is priceless. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I have to say, I think it would be good if you started using Twitter again. What? I think your takes on things, your arguments being seen more via Twitter could be good for society. Would be good for society. You know, I just like rewatching a movie and hoping for a different ending, right? I think Steph is lucky that banning works, otherwise the people in power would have to use more drastic measures. Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I don't talk like that. I'm so sorry. That was very petty on my part, but I enjoy. Somebody put a video together, Major General blah, blah, blah. No, what? Oh, the Burma Road. Yes, I remember flogging the natives with a wicker chair. So, I'm sorry, this is just my 19th century British pompous imperialist. It's nothing to do with you. People miss seeing you fight with your enemies that aren't on here. I understand your arguments why you don't go back on Twitter. I also understand a little bit more about corporate liability than most of you because I founded and sold corporations. So, hi, Miss Van Borneo was a colony, what? Oh, hi, James. Sorry. It's white man's burden. We take British reign to India and they become like British people. Certainly, absolutely. All created in the image of God. What? I shouldn't laugh. Absolute catastrophe. I like Steph's 19th century British pompous accent. Well, you burn your brides when the husband dies. And that's your tradition. And we put to death those who burn the brides after the husband dies. That's our tradition. And since we have the Gatling, I believe our tradition will win out. As a whole. people want the fighty fight, don't they? That's just what they want. They want to see me sparring and winning, and they want to see me land a few blows. And it's entertainment. It's wrestling. They just want me to do the wrestling thing, right? Like I saw Andrew Wilson sparring with a couple of feminists, and it's, oh, my God. Crazy, man. Like, why would you bother? And I punched a girl guy, and I consider myself heavyweight champion of the third grade. I mean, I like him. He's a smart guy, and he's got a great A great bitter laugh. I can't do bitter laughs too well. But Andrew Wilson has a great bitter laugh. By the way, people, total live tips. Don't make me cry again. Actually, that's how I just made myself cry. Let's just look at the live tips. Come on, people. It's interesting and enjoyable stuff. Elon bought Twitter because... Should we do tough guy voice? Haven't done that for a while. Elon bought Twitter because he was the only one that could. Fate called on him. Steph, along with you and Scott Adams, you are the only verbally gifted, highly intelligent thought leaders in the political space. Once he's gone, we won't have anyone to carry the mantle. Well, I'm curious. I'm open to hear this. I'm absolutely open to hearing this. What could I achieve that, say, Trump and Musk could not? Or based upon, say, just take Trump and Musk, right? For whatever your political beliefs. What could I achieve? Thank you, Bowmaker. No problem. I appreciate that. I appreciate your support. I'm just talking to the others, right? Trump being president. Okay. And has he saved the Republic? I mean, I know it's still a couple of months into his, more than a couple, I suppose, into his presidency. They cut any spending? He's got hundreds of executive orders. They can just be undone by the next president because it's not being codified into law. What could I achieve? I mean, I'm a reason and evidence guy. I mean, I've got some decent humor. I'm fairly charismatic. I'm a good communicator as a whole. But I'm a reason and evidence guy. Have you had embedded and corrupt people change their lives because of your arguments? In my personal life? No, not really. Yeah, well, I mean, that's good. So if you have the ability to change people's minds and have them, I mean, I've used this analogy before, right? So let's say that you're walking down the street and a friend of yours runs up to you. He's super excited. He says, hey, man, I've won $1 million in the lottery. And you say, ooh, you shouldn't cash that. He's like, what? So you shouldn't cash that. You know, the government doesn't really have any money. It's just going to raise taxes on everyone else. It's going to borrow. It's going to print. It's really bad, right? It's really corrupt. Do you think he's going to be like, yep, torn up, man. You're right. I won't take the $1 million. You're right. Now, even if you explain it to him a whole bunch, right? Explain it to him a whole bunch. Is he going to walk away from the $1 million? Nope. He's going to cash the $1 million check. Why? Because the benefits are concentrated to him and the costs are dispersed to everyone else. That's the government. Everyone who's on the receiving end of government money, the benefits are concentrated on them. The costs are dispersed to everyone else who can't track it. Inflation, borrowing debt. It's maybe a generation. Well, probably not a generation now, but generation down the road in the past. I mean, even if you tried to, not that you should, right? But even if you tried to wrestle it away from him, he'd fight like hell to keep it, right? He'd call the cops. He'd pop you in the nose. He'd throw you to the side. He'd throw you to the ground. He would use force to hang on to his lottery ticket. Right? See where I'm going, right? See where I'm going. People would use force to hang on to their unjust benefits. It's, well, but the lottery is not unjust. It's like, oh, it kind of is. Yeah, it kind of is. Because it's often a government monopoly, and the math is pretty bad, and it harms the poor for the most part, or the mathematically illiterate. Lotteries and gambling is just a tax on numerical illiteracy. So, man, my brother won the lottery, Steph. My brother won the lottery. You need to talk to him and talk him out of. You need to talk him out of cashing in that lottery ticket. I don't think so. And that's what happened with Doge, right? Das ist die reality. All right. Any other last donations? freedomain.com/donate. Suggestions, questions, issues, problems. I'm all ears. I'm all yours. Thank you for my hacking. Thank you for participating in my hacking tonight. Thank you very much for the tip. I appreciate that. He says, it was nice to see Cernovich say something nice about you. I think the news about Scott Adams has people thinking back onto what was going on in 2015 to 2016, and you were probably the most prominent thinker in the world at that time. I learned about Cernovich, Scott Adams, and many others around that time because of you. I only wish all the people you helped could have come to your defense sooner. You're unique, Stefan, and this community is unique. I personally have no interest in you defending a bunch of people who just recently went batshit crazy over COVID and today mostly pretend like nothing happened. As blunt as it sounds, people should get the coming misery they seem hell-bent on bringing forth. Yeah, I mean, and this, thank you for the tip. Thank you, Tor. I appreciate that. Steph needs to be nominated for a Screen Award along with Louis Whaley? Who dat? I can't look at modern actors. They just seem like asylum inmates to me. Steph, how do you interact with normies in everyday life? Let's say you were getting a haircut and the barber starts repeating some BS they heard in mainstream media. Do you try to engage them in a rational conversation, or do you just smile and nod and leave them be? I don't lie, right? And I won't pretend. I'll say, I don't quite see it that way. Yeah, I don't quite see it that way. I don't see it that way. Oh, how do you see it? Well, you know, my approach is, you know, right or wrong, but it go generally that, right? How much of a GoFundMe goal would you realistically accept to start using Twitter again? Listen, that's very kind, and I appreciate the sentiment, but it's not for sale. Not for sale. Not forehead for sale. So, no, I'm pretty blunt with people. I'm pretty blunt with people. If they mention COVID, I'm like, yeah, things went a little crazy over COVID there. Things went pretty nuts over COVID. I mean, people wearing masks that say mask won't help. 6 foot distancing came out of nothing. And what is it? This is Dr. Naomi Wolf. I think she has like 3,200 volunteers who went through the Pfizer data when the judge first ordered it released. So I think that's the one they wanted to hang on to in the nether in the back rooms for 75 years. And the group that she organized were the first to point out that there was an 82% miscarriage rate in the Pfizer trials. And I was reading, I find this hard to believe. I just find the number shocking beyond words. So I'm not saying she's wrong about any of this or her researches are wrong or whatever. But if you've got that stuff that is as deadly to babies as a morning after pill, that's just absolutely shocking. Shocking. Have you, I mean, verify any of this. Have you heard this? It's wild. It's wild. Stefan Molyneux, stop being a pussy.
Wow.
Caddy. All right. One of the all-time greats. He's still one of the biggest influences on my political thinking 10 years later. Countless kids will grow up with reduced stress, trauma, and abuse because of the work of Stefan Molyneux. How many so-called public intellectuals can claim that glorious crowning achievement? The man deserves a monument. Thank you. Oh, somebody did a gif of me shirtless. Beautiful. Beautiful. Ah, my Taylor Swift tweet. Oh, when was that? December 9th, 2019. Whew. This is my famous tweet. I can't believe Taylor Swift is about to turn 30. She still looks so young. It's strange to think that 90% of her eggs are already gone, 97% by the time she turns 40. So I hope she thinks about having kids before it's too late. She'd be a fun mom, smiley face. 10,000 replies. This guy, Zach Bornstein, wrote, "Congratulations, this is the worst thing I've ever seen." To which I replied, "Wow, you need to pick up a book sometime. Try some Alexander Solzhenitsyn or A General History of the 20th Century." And another guy wrote, he quoted, "It's strange to think that 90% of her eggs are already gone." And he wrote, "Yes, Stefan, yes, it is strange to think that. Stranger to say it aloud. Also, maybe a woman is more than a baby factory, like with independent thoughts and feelings and professional ambition and stuff." And I wrote back, "Was your mother just a baby factory?" Oh, it just went on and on. "Hey, dude, I'm sorry to break this news to you, but nobody wants to fuck you," says someone. And I said, "Please do your best to stop thinking about my sex life." And then this woman said, "This is so disgusting. Delete this." And I wrote back, "Do not tell me what to do with my body." And then I posted a picture of a dragon my daughter drew, and I said, "Look what an egg can make." Excellent stuff. It was fun to reply back to people. I mean, I'm not sure it changed anybody's minds in particular, but it was fun. And then people quoted a video of "My Wife Wants a Divorce," which is a call-in show. That was great. Oh, so many replies. Just hysteria. Absolute hysteria. Somebody wrote, "I can't believe Stefan Molyneux is 53 years old. He looks a lot older. It's strange to think that 97% of his hair is already gone. He only had 90% when he turned 50, so I hope he thinks about having a hair transplant before it's too late. It'd be nice to see him with some hair." Actually, that was pretty witty, I thought. That was pretty witty. "My skin just slid all the way off and found its way into the bin right where that weird tweet belonged." Funnily enough. Oh, that's funny. I don't know how it is that people conflate having babies with having hair. Hair is inert and blah blah blah, right? Anyway, it was fun stuff. fun stuff. All right, so let's see here. All right. Taylor is no longer hot. I think Trump said that. I don't know if he was talking about, I mean, he's always ambiguous whether he's talking about her physical hotness or her, I mean, she's pretty. She's very pretty. She's very pretty. I've never found her sexy, and I don't think she particularly tries to be sexy, but all right. All right. Any other last tips? Freedomain.com/onet. If you're listening to this later, I really would appreciate it. And I will stop here. And I really do thank you for your time tonight. It was a real pleasure to chat with you all. And we will talk to you tomorrow night, too. Tomorrow night, too, where there will be more hacking. And we say, scene.